Scripture reading for this week comes from the Gospel of John, from chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. So just this last week, we were in the car, my family and I, on our way home, and my son Ollie was singing, and his words are pretty mumbly still at this point, but he was definitely singing a Christmas song, Christmas carol, which then gave us a good excuse then to have a good old-fashioned Christmas sing-along in the car. Except it was an Easter sing-along in the car. But not knowing too many Easter carols, we just went ahead and sang along with the Christmas songs, changing the words just a bit to fit the season. We wish you a Merry Easter and a Happy New Life. That was my addition. And rocking around the Easter tree. All the classic Easter carols, you know. We are quite the songwriters, as you can tell. Merry Easter, Merry Easter. It doesn't have quite the same ring to it. And Easter carols aren't blaring in the store during this season like the carols are in December and in November and in October also. And I suppose that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But as good as we know the news is for us in December, here and now in Easter, it is the extravagantly good news of Jesus sealed for us. It is sealed for us, given in his life, proven for us now in the resurrection. It was still dark, the scripture says. It was still dark that morning when Mary got to the tomb. She saw that the stone was rolled away. Mary assumed that the worst had happened, that the grave had been robbed. Resurrection was the furthest thing from her mind. So she ran to get the other disciples, and Peter and the beloved disciple, they came running, though none of them came to the tomb expecting there to have been resurrection. Even though they had been told, they did not understand that he must rise from the dead, as the scripture said. They didn't understand. Peter, he looked into the tomb first, and he saw the clothes that were lying there in the tomb. And Mary, she stands outside of the tomb weeping. The other disciple, he came in, he saw and believed, the scripture says. But even they who saw the empty tomb, even the disciple who is said to believe, it says that they did not yet understand. They did not yet understand, and they simply returned home from the empty tomb. The Easter message that Jesus not only died for us, but that Jesus was raised for us, conquered death for us, the resurrection, Easter message, it's a hard truth. Grasp. The disciples, they are still clearly coming to grips with the reality of resurrections. Humans in general, as we see in this story, have a hard time grasping the truth and all that it means. It wasn't a normal thing 2,000 years ago. It's not a normal thing now. It's always been a difficult thing to understand. And Peter, he looked into the tomb and saw the clothes, and Mary, she stood weeping outside, and the other disciple, he saw and believed, it says. And any one of them, any of these reactions, any one of them, it seems, could be any one of us, I think, at any given time. Both Peter and the beloved disciple, they saw that the stone was rolled away, saw the emptiness of the tomb, the grave clothes lying there in the tomb, but only the beloved disciple is said to believe. Each saw the same thing, had the same information, but only one believed, and still they didn't fully understand. And we have heard the story. We've seen, we've received the information. The stone's already rolled away. The resurrection's already a reality. But it's still, I know in my life that in one moment we may believe, and another we don't understand. We don't understand. We're still coming to grips with what it all means for us. After college, I worked for a few years at this home for troubled kids. I've told you guys about it before. Many of the kids there had been abused and neglected. Most of them had serious behavioral issues. Now, all of them needed a lot of love, for sure. And this was a place where the kids would be placed for a time for treatment, and sometimes as kind of a last resort to get them on a better track and move in the right direction. And since the kids lived there, spent all their time there, there were different activities all throughout the week for them to participate in. And Tuesday night, every Tuesday night, was chapel night. And my first couple years there, working there, I was the low man on the totem pole, and so I was stuck taking the kids to chapel. It was not their favorite activity. But we'd go to chapel. We would sing a few songs, and the pastor would give a little message. And then every week, every single week, he would give this extensive altar call. He'd give this altar call for the kids where they could come and they could give their life to Christ, and kids, the kids would respond. They would come up and they would go forward and make a confession of faith. And most of the time, though, I kind of was of the opinion that it seemed to me a little trivial with what they have been through in their lives. Like I'm not really sure that this is what these kids needed. I thought to myself, how much really are these kids understanding about what all of this means? Probably not much. But really, I think, thinking back, I think they did understand something important. I think they did understand something, and that was how desperate they were for love, desperate for a change, desperate for some gift that is on the other side of all that they had been through. They understood enough. They understood enough to take that step toward something new that God has to offer. And if that's all we understand, then that is a good place to start. Years ago, there was a journalist who decided to track down survivors of suicide attempts that had happened on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, people who had jumped off the bridge and survived. And the journalist, he went and asked them what was going through their minds during that 4 seconds of the fall. And all of them, each of them, all responded that they regretted the decision to jump. And one man, he said, Kenneth Baldwin, he responded saying that I instantly realized as I jumped that everything in my life that I thought was unfixable was totally fixable. Everything in my life that I thought was unfixable was totally fixable except for having just jumped. That man, Kenneth Baldwin, he's still alive now, 30 years after his suicide attempt. He raised a family and teaches high school students. Everything I thought was unfixable was totally fixable, he said. Mary Gordon said that for me, she said that for me, the meaning of the resurrection is the possibility of possibility. The great perhaps, she said, that opens up the story. It's the possibility of possibility. In the midst of life as we know it, in the middle of the struggles that we face, when we don't know where to turn next, it's hard to see. It is hard to see beyond that to much of anything else. But it is into exactly that kind of unknowing, into that kind of darkness, that resurrection comes early in the morning while it was still dark. That is where Easter really begins. It begins in darkness. It begins in fear and pain and loss and in terrible misunderstanding. And in the resurrection, suddenly there is this promise of hope. And something more on the other side. That is the reality of Easter that God gives us, that we are to be coming to grips with, coming to understand more and more, that we may too, like the disciples, see and believe for ourselves. There was an adult study group in a church that was in a deep discussion about difficult Christian beliefs. And someone brought up the struggle in believing in the resurrection of Jesus. And they found this far-fetched thing to believe. Life from death, he asked. How can that be credible? And a woman in the group, she spoke up and she said, well, I do believe in resurrection. I've seen it, she said. I've lived it, she said. When my husband walked out on me, I could have died. I did die. Felt like I was going to die. My life was over, dead end, she said. But then, by the grace of God, she said, with the support of a church family, the coaxing of good friends, I came back. I came back to life. I got a whole new life. I believe in the resurrection, she said, because I've lived it. The great, great theologian Martin Luther said that the words, Christ is risen from the dead, should be well marked and written in great letters. Each letter should be as large as a town, even as high as heaven and broad as earth, he said, so that we see nothing, hear nothing, know nothing beyond it. This should be our new reality that we live in, that Jesus was raised from the dead, raised to new life. And Easter hope, resurrection hope, should be our new way of seeing our lives and our world, because it means something for us. It changes things for us. This is not just some long past event. It means something for our lives too. I had a bit of a parenting fail the other night. I let my 5-year-old daughter come to our Living Last Supper event the other day. I know many of you, who was there? Can you raise your hand? It was moving, wonderful presentation of that Last Supper and the crucifixion. I kind of failed to tell my daughter and my wife about the dramatic, vivid reenactment of the crucifixion that happens at the end. And it may have all traumatized her just a little bit. The supper was fine, she said. The Last Supper was all fine. But at the end, then I started to read the legacy of the disciples and the violent ways that many of the disciples were killed. And that is when she grabbed hold of Mom's hand. And then Jesus is led in carrying the cross and guards yelling and whipping Jesus. And that's when she crawled in Mom's lap and put her hands over her ears. And then they began nailing Jesus to the cross, and it was too much, and they had to leave at that point. She was scared, and she was sad, and when I found her afterward in the nursery, she still had a tear on her cheek. I was talking with her later that night, and she told me all about why she was scared and why she was sad, and then we talked about God's love, for us, and how all of that is a part of the story. all of that is a part of the story of God's great love for us. And I think maybe she understands at least a little bit. Well, she had a suggestion for next year to make it a little less scary. She said she thought maybe next year, she thought maybe they'd probably do the whole story, she said. Maybe they should do the whole story, she said. She meant Easter. She meant the resurrection. There is for us the rest of the story. There is the rest of the story. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you may be in a place of brokenness and pain. You may feel hopeless. You may be sad or scared. But there is for us the rest of the story. And there are times when we can't see beyond our circumstance, when we think that wherever we are is all there is, but there is more to the story. Jesus has given his love and his life for our sake. He has been raised to give us new life, to make all things new. And I pray we can begin to come to understand more and more, begin to come to grips with all that means for us, that we too may see and believe enough to step out beyond our circumstance, to take a hold of this great gift that is given for us in the resurrection of Christ our Lord. Amen.